There are loads of people texting and contacting us to wish the Carn Donna ladies the best of luck today. They are taking part in the Ulster Championship in Celtic Park in Derry. This request from the McGuinness family, Convent Road, Carn Donna, and say loads more coming in. Keep your calls, comments and requests coming to 086 770 0555. You can call us on 074 91 25000. Yvonne taking your calls today as always, or you can tweet me directly at GregHughes2. Still to come on the programme, entrepreneur Neil Gallagher talks to us about his wish to locate his IT business on Aranmore Island, but a lack of broadband is stopping that happening. We'll hear Neil's views. John Campbell tells us about the FinHop School programme, which is entering its sixth year. And Mary Phelan discusses a documentary to be broadcast on the Meehan family, who would be very well known around the Letterkenny area. And coming up after the break, we'll get reaction to the big script announcement. Well, they're going to be playing a concert in Croke Park next year. The news hasn't excited everyone. Donal Cavan is a big news fan. Donal, are you wetting yourself with excitement?
Oh, absolutely, Greg, yes.
Literally?
Oh, totally.
You're glad the script to play in Croke Park?
Oh, I am absolutely over the moon, the script.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, I'm being very sarcastic.
I'll be honest.
I think I can name about two script songs. I mean, I think this was billed with such, there is going to be a major announcement. Everyone was thinking, is it U2? Is it AC/DC? Then it's like, the script? No, I can't really get excited about that,
to
be honest.
Greg, I don't care about the script playing in Croke Park. Hopefully AC/DC will play Slain or Punchestown, maybe their last tour. But then we thought the last time, no Malcolm Young anymore, but still will be great. Is that you texting? No,
no, but it would actually reflect what I think. Yeah. I mean, I think Malcolm Young was really the heart of AC/DC. Angus and Brian Johnson were the frontmen, but Malcolm was really the man behind the sound. I think very often in a band like that, the rhythm section, and Malcolm was such a tight, brilliant rhythm guitarist. Brilliant. They're really going to lose him. They're going to feel the loss, and it's tragic the illness he's suffering from. But I mean, AC/DC and Slain, I will definitely be there.
But you won't be in Croke Park for the script.
Unfortunately not. I'm washing my hair that day.
Me too, and I don't have a single one. Okay, we're going to get Eddie Rowley's views. He's the entertainment correspondent with the Sunday World on that concert after this break.
Champions, standing in the hall of fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're mine with the
Right, it was confirmed yesterday that the Script are to headline a Croke Park gig in Dublin next year. The band and support act Pharrell Williams were revealed as the acts that will play at the sports stadium on June 20th, 2015. Eddie Rowley is of the Sunday World and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Eddie.
Morning to you, Greg.
I'm not sensing mass hysteria and excitement about this announcement. Am I being cruel?
Yeah, you are probably right. I think maybe some people might be disappointed that it's not maybe Robbie Williams or One Direction. But at the same time, it's a very, very strong combination with Pharrell Williams added to the bill. And probably, although they didn't say it today, probably more support acts to be announced as well. So, well, obviously the Script fans just love those guys here. You know, they've made them number one. They've sold over 300,000 albums here. They've already sold 150,000 tickets for their arena tour in February and March in the UK. So, you know, they're Irish. They're well loved here, and they're a huge draw abroad and at home. I mean, they have played Aviva Stadium in the past.
Yeah, and the one of Verona, and we shouldn't go out of our way to knock them. When I say we, I mean me. But 80,000, do they have that pulling power even with the strong supporting lineup we anticipate?
I think the whole combination, the whole package, I'm not sure, you know, if they're up there on their own that they would pull in instantly, do a sellout of 80,000. I could be wrong next week when the tickets go on sale. But I think the whole combination of the fact that it's an event, because it's in Croke Park, it's in the summertime, it's got Pharrell Williams, and it's going to be, you know, a big Christmas present for the tickets are going to end up in a lot of Christmas stockings this year. So I think, you know, the timing is just perfect for it as well to launch it.
€45 the tickets are, including booking fee. Is that that's pretty reasonable, is it?
It is, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, the tickets are from 45.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the
that's for the nosebleed sections.
That's the one on the roof of Croke Park.
Exactly. So they'll go up, right. Let's have a prediction, Eddie. Next Thursday, the tickets go on sale. We've got Pharrell Williams has already been announced. We imagine there'll be more names added to that before the tickets actually go on sale. I'd say the Script themselves and their promoters are chewing their fingernails, because if there wasn't a huge uptake, it could be it potentially could be embarrassing, couldn't it?
It would be embarrassing if there wasn't a huge uptake. Is right, but I don't think it'll sell out. But I think there will be a very healthy sale next week.
Okay, thank you very much, Eddie Rowley, as always.
That pleasure, Greg.
This week on Monday Night Live with Paddy Keeney, Paddy's special guest will be country and Irish singing star Trudy Lawlor. That's Monday Night Live with Paddy Keeney this Monday night from 9 till 11 here on Highland Radio.
Everyone loves an unexpected surprise, from the
free pastry with your coffee
right up to the
upgrade to first class.
So Ford created the 2015 Go Further sales event, running from the 7th of November. It's our chance to give you an unexpected surprise. Our 151 models come with a surprisingly low APR rate and a swappage allowance of €1,500. A pleasant surprise indeed. The 2015 Go Further sales event, exceeding expectations now as standard. Offer available on all new Ford Focus, Fiesta, B-Max, C-Max and Kuga models. For full terms and conditions, visit Ford.ie.
Hello, it's Tina here from Pello Hair Design, Letterkenny. Do you ever ask yourself what's in your hair colour? At Pello, all our Aveda colours are up to 96% naturally derived. Our colourists can create a customised colour to suit your hair with fade-resistant formulas for essentially damage-free results. Call us today on 911-3589 for your free consultation or log on to pello.ie.
Out now to rent exclusively at Extravision. Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum return as everyone's favourite cop duo in the hilarious action-packed comedy of the year, 22 Jump Street. Don't miss out on this side-splitting thrill ride. See it 2 weeks before anyone else, only at Extravision. All the latest movies, first for less.
At Ulster Bank, we know that choosing the right mortgage is a big decision. That's why we're offering a new range of 3, 5 and 7 year fixed rate mortgages, so you can compare various options all at once. During November, 8 of our branches across Donegal are open late every Thursday till 7pm. So why not come along and chat to us about which mortgage could work for you? Check online for opening hours of your nearest branch. Our next big yes could be yours. Ulster Bank. Help for what matters. Maximum loan to value 90%. Lending criteria, terms and conditions apply. Over 18, security and insurance required. Early repayment charges apply during fixed period. Ulster Bank Ireland Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
During the week, it was reported that a .NET entrepreneur wants to turn Donegal Island, namely Aranmore Island, into a miniature Silicon Valley and to have his business headquarters set up there. It's intrigued a lot of people locally, so we want to find out some more about that. The entrepreneur in question is Neil Gallagher, and he joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Tell us about these plans. Are they pie in the sky, or could they become a reality?
Well, they actually could very much be a reality. I guess it's dependent on a couple of things, really. First of all, the success of our business, which we're launching at the end of this month. But we have, I guess, high expectations for that, and we're reasonably confident. But I guess more importantly is, from an Aranmore perspective, is the infrastructure that we would need in place.
There has been a lot of complaints from the island and those within the community, the business community particularly, that the broadband infrastructure, the speeds and what have you, are rather low. Is that what we're pointing to here, really?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there's almost a misconception that we actually have broadband on the island, because we don't. We have a very flaky 3G signal at best. Which pretty much gives us the same speed that we had about 10 years ago on dial-up for the vast majority of the time. Now, at certain times of the day, we might get a connection that will allow somebody to actually watch a YouTube or something, but I was there for 6 weeks over the summer, and I wasn't able to work at all.
It can't be hit and miss, can it? It has to be something that's steady and of a certain strength.
Absolutely, and I think the other key point we're trying to emphasize is that, you know, broadband, you know, a 10 meg connection or of that capacity is no longer sufficient. So what we don't want is, I guess to put it into context, getting a 10 meg connection now is like going back to the 1970s and getting electricity and saying, this will allow you to light up 10 light bulbs in your house. But you're not going to be able to run a plasma television or anything else.
But there is that sense from the islands and other rural areas, not least here in County Donegal, that in terms of infrastructure like that, you're getting crumbs from the table, really.
Absolutely. And I guess another misconception is the technology is there. Mm. It's completely available. The fibre technology has been available for years. There's actually no technical reason why we couldn't be connected up. There's actually a community in the UK, a rural community, that actually took the initiative into their own hands and connected themselves to a fibre backhaul, in effect giving them pretty much about 1,000 times faster connection than we have in Aranmore. I guess the point I'm trying to stress is that there are no technical limitations. It's really a case of political will here.
Tell us more. We'll return to that, but tell us more about the company.
Yeah, so we're currently based in the UK. It's founded by myself and another Irish guy, Conor Murphy from Cork. We've actually been developing for about 3 years a series of online games and apps, and they will allow children to play just very fun and engaging games in the classroom. So we're providing teachers then with the ability to download those for free and actually play them in the classroom for free. And what we're trying to do really is, in a nutshell, is take, I guess, all the fun elements of a video game and kind of recreate that as an educational experience without actually losing out on the fun.
You are, of course... I beg your pardon, Neil. You are, of course, from the island and would be more aware than anyone that, you know, traditional industry that provided employment and supported a strong population has faded over the years. With something like this, it really would have the potential, or could have the potential, you know, to set Tyrone up as a real employment hub.
Well, it could actually, because and not just for Cape Koala, but for certainly for other companies as well. The one thing about the island is it's got a highly, highly educated kind of generation of kids just constantly being churned out, but all of them are leaving. So if we look at the secondary school on the island, over the last 20 years, it's churned out doctors, nurses, solicitors, engineers, mathematicians. On this project alone, I've had about six people in total from Aranmore involved in different aspects. So some worked in the coding side of it. Some other people did video production. There's a girl on the island that has her own kind of television and radio production company, Helena. She's actually very, very interested in moving back to Aranmore, but again, requires that level of broadband.
You're not the only person making these kind of calls. Randox recently announced the creation of hundreds of jobs over the next 5 years. But speaking to the head of operations down there myself, once again, he pointed to this infrastructure. It's not necessarily about access, because there's always going to be limitations there. But to grow successfully, businesses like that and yours do need this infrastructure. But as you've already hinted to at the start of this interview, it's about a political will, a recognition of that, and to support our more rural areas and to support the islands.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the especially the islands and the rural community, the population is just steadily decreasing. And with this type of infrastructure, it actually benefits everybody, because the Aranmore is the most ideal place for a creative company. And in fact, most of Donegal, really, and certainly anywhere along the coast, for a creative company that would actually attract creative people, whether they're artists or game programmers or writers or bloggers. All of that there is possible if we have very, very, very strong kind of internet connectivity. And for me, the government always talks about maintaining rural Ireland, but unless they actually do something about it, rural Ireland and certainly the islands are just on this downward slope.
And this was really highlighted during the week. It angered a lot of people, and no disrespect to Letterkenny, it already has quite a decent broadband infrastructure, but Aircom has targeted it over the next couple of years to increase it up to speeds of almost like 1 gig downloads. A lot of people in outlying areas who have no broadband at all are scratching their heads as to why major areas of population are being targeted, while rural areas, it seems, are not.
Yeah, and it seems, again, very much a quick, from my perspective, it seems like a very political tick in the box. Okay, we've addressed parts of Donegal, albeit it's Letterkenny, which again has, you know, compared to Aranmore and other rural parts, probably has a broadband connectivity at the minute that's manageable. My point really is that as a minimum, we should be trying to push 1 gig, well, certainly half a gig connections to all of rural Donegal.
Well, we'll see how that goes and see if this story gathers any traction. Maybe our local representatives might get on board with it. But for now, Neil Gallagher, best of luck with the company. Let's hope it can be established and based on Aranmore Island into the future.
Yeah, thanks very much.
086-7700-555 is the text line if you want to comment, either agree or disagree with Neil there. You can call us on 07491-25000 or tweet me at GregHughes2. Loads of you, as always, thank you so much for making contact with the Weekend Edition. Caller says, I think it's very sad that young people of this country have to leave to find work, and there's immigrants coming into the country getting houses and benefits, etc. How could you possibly be positive about that? As it relates to water, the government should have saved a fortune on so-called consultants. Another texter says, PPS number means nothing. It's an ID. All citizens buying in Spain need ID. There should be no property tax without services, i.e. water. Bottled water is taken from reservoirs and sold in shops. A rallying call here from a texter. Let's all get out to the Right to Water demos today. Ballyshannon, Letterkenny and Lifford, please check locally for starting times. As it relates to another one here. Why should we pay for water what you can't even drink, as it's full of fluoride and disgusting to drink? Thank you, says the texter there. People buying bottled water for drinking because the quality is poor. That's a reaction to another one. The only ones I want to see playing Croke Park, not the script. Donegal, says the texter. Thank you very much for that. And someone wondering, is it Gareth Brooks? No, it's not. He's not playing Slane either, I don't think. And bring back Gareth Brooks instead of the script, says a texter there. And hi, Greg. We saw the script supporting Take That Circus tour in Croke Park, and they were fabulous. Good luck to them. Love from Kate with three X's. Thank you very much, Kate. And let that be a lesson to all of you. More X's, please. We'll try and stay positive. There's some requests. Lauren Cassidy, she's 21 today. Happy 21st birthday to you, Lauren. Coming in from Martin, Neve, Mary, James and Ruby. Hope you have a great night, so say all of us. Please wish Enda McDade in Bonamy a happy birthday from Auntie Dana and cousins Kyle and Oren. More than happy to do that, of course. To Eamon Coyle and Carrigard, who's 50 today, from John, his brother. Eamon, will you be thanking John for mentioning your age? I'm sure it's perfectly fine, isn't it? 50's the new 40. For John McConnell in Derry Vay Avenue, happy birthday to you from wife Anne, Joseph, Dara and granddaughter Nadine. Bernie and Patsy Lynch in Dreenan, 60 years married today. Congratulations to both of you from George at Molly Doherty. George and Molly Doherty in Knock, and all of us, of course, here at Highland Radio. And for Colin O'Brien in Ballofay, best wishes on your birthday, Colin. This coming in from wife Georgina, who loves you very much, and sons Connor and Oisín. Mary Phelan from Sandwoman Productions. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Very good, and very glad to be speaking with you. Now, a documentary you have put together airs tomorrow on T.G. Cahir, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And it's based on the well-known Meehan family in Letterkenny. For those of our listeners who may not be familiar with them, give us a bit of background.
Well, basically, it's an Indian family that has been based in and around Letterkenny since either the 1950s or the 1930s, depending on what way you want to look at it. Sorry, the 1960s or the 1930s. I mean, basically, the story is that Devinder Meehan, as he's called now, it's actually Mehan, M-E-H-A-N is the Indian name, but it's become hibernicized into Meehan at this stage. He came to Letterkenny from the Punjab in northern Italy in the early 60s. His uncle had actually been based in Letterkenny since the 1930s. So he came to join his uncle, and a couple of years later, his bride, Ramesh, came. And 50 years later, I mean, the family are as Donegal as it gets, really, apart from the fact that their skin colour is rather different to the normal Donegal complexion, and their cultural religious background is Hindu.
How unusual would it have been for people to move, say, from India in the early 60s, but I suppose in the first instance, in the case of Devinder's father in the 30s?
Well, it wasn't that usual to move as far as Donegal, but actually I came across an article in a book there recently which confirmed what some of the younger Meehans had told me. Apparently, there was quite a lot of migration from northern India into the UK going back over the years. And some of those Indians, particularly the ones from the Punjab, made it into Northern Ireland. You see, India was part of the empire at that stage, you know, so it wasn't that unusual for people from India to migrate to Britain to work. And some of them found their way into Northern Ireland as a result of the political situation. And one that we're sure of, actually migrated over the border as far as Letterkenny. So in terms of the history of the Republic, it's very unusual. But in terms of the history of Northern Ireland, it's actually not that unusual.
And I presume we learn an awful lot about the family and their journey and settling here, do we?
Well, yes. you do. And you also, I mean, Devinder's own history is really interesting because his uncle Bosey had a drapery business on the on Lower Main Street in Letterkenny, actually, was a bit of a legend in his own lifetime. I mean, there's probably another programme to be made about him. I heard lovely stories about people from Lower Main Street learning to make chapatis on the range, you know, in the, like in the 50s and, you know, eating curry before anybody else had ever heard of it. But Devinder himself, he took to selling, you know, drapery was their line of trade, and he took to selling clothes around West Donegal and particularly the Gaeltacht areas. And that's the very unique thing about this particular story. He started on a bicycle, believe it or not, cycling out to, you know, Ranafast and Gweedore in the winter on a bicycle.
Well, that's not easy.
And you from Northern India. But he got on very well with people, seemed to have developed a real rapport with them. And his and they were also very grateful because, you know, in the 1960s, getting in to buy your clothes to Letterkenny was a bit of, you know, a bit of a journey. So the business went well, and a couple of years later, he bought a van. And actually, in the documentary, we take the van back out to West Donegal because the family bought it back in recent years and have renovated it. And it's a green Morris Minor, so it looks absolutely gorgeous, you know, and it looks fantastic in the Donegal landscape. But obviously, in the 1960s, that was... A green Morris Minor out in West Donegal was a bit of a novelty, and a green Morris Minor driven by a dark, handsome Indian man was even more unusual.
And has their life here been without incident? Do you look at that? I mean, how were they generally received?
It seems like they were received very well. I mean, the family seemed to have a natural, sociability tendency. I mean, Devinder talks about, you know, when he'd go to the go out to West Donegal, he'd start to chat about the weather, as you do, you know.
That's what we do,
indeed. And then kind of slowly he'd get around to selling his wares. So they're just, he just seems to have had a natural empathy with the people he was dealing with. And the people he was dealing with seemed to like him very much. Now, I think the fact that his uncle was already fairly established and a very popular person no doubt didn't do any harm. But the family themselves do seem to have a very, you know, a very engaging way of dealing with people and chatting about the weather and what's the crack and, you know, all that sort of thing. In Irish as well as in English, which is the interesting thing, because this programme goes out on TG Cahir and is made primarily in Irish. You know, Devinder himself doesn't have, you know, anything other than the, you know, cup on tea and tán log a bra, but the younger generation can sustain conversations in Irish, which is, you know, really quite remarkable.
It certainly is. Now, the generations that followed him have stayed in the area, have they, Mary?
They have all, yeah, they've all stayed in the area. I mean, basically, Devinder and Ramesh had four children, three boys and a girl. Mm-hmm. And the four boys, or the three boys are all still involved in the family clothing business. So Sanjay, the oldest one, runs the shop on Main Street in Letterkenny, which is celebrating 30 years in business. This year, Bliss, he's a well-known character around the town. Bobby lives in Strabane, but he is no doubt probably down in the rain at the car boot sale as we speak, unless the day is too bad in Letterkenny. But basically, he sells at street markets, clothing again, and he also has two shops, one in Donegal Town and one in Strabane. So also still involved in the trade. And then Raj, the youngest son, is running the shop in Rafow, which is actually the first shop that the Meehan set up in Donegal, because initially Devinder was selling from his van around West Donegal, and Devinder and Ramesh had bought a house in Rafow. They couldn't find one in Letterkenny, so they bought a house in Rafow. And after a couple of years, somebody suggested, why don't you open a shop on the ground floor? So that's actually what they did, and Ramesh more or less ran that. Well, Ramesh and Devinder ran that for a couple of years, and Raj, the youngest son, runs it now. And then Shona, the daughter, works in the tourist office in Letterkenny.
Brilliant.
So she is actually welcoming people into the area now. That's what she does for a living.
And it's great. It's the way it should be, isn't it? I mean, you know, and Donegal is a very welcoming county. We touched on, the foreign nationals in inverted commas a little earlier on in the programme. But generally speaking, again, from the people I know, and I know many people in the foreign national community, we are welcoming.
Yeah, well, certainly this is an extremely positive story. A, it's pretty unlikely. You know, I mean, Indians in West Donegal in the 1960s, I mean, whatever about in the early noughties, you know, when we did have a big influx. But actually, that's it's interesting that you mentioned that, because this programme actually was first broadcast, believe it or not, on Highland Radio, because I mostly make radio programmes, and I did a series about 8 years ago called Home From Home, which contrasted the story of a Donegal person who'd had to emigrate, because as we all know, Donegal has a strong history of emigration. So it contrasted the story of a Donegal person who had to leave Donegal with somebody at the time in, you know, 2006, they were still called the New Irish. So one of the Poles or the Chinese or the Nigerians who had moved into Letterkenny. And then the last programme in the series was about the Meehans. It didn't contrast, because I just felt that they had become so Donegal that in some ways that was very appropriate as the last programme in the series. I knew Bobby fairly well. And it was the first time ever that I thought, actually, this would be better as a television programme.
Yeah. I'm intrigued about firstly, the radio documentary. We're going to have to try and get on online some way or other, Mary, if we can. But also what we're talking to you about primarily is this programme. It's tomorrow night, isn't it, at 9:30 p.m?
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow evening at 9:30 on TG Cahir, and then it's repeated on Monday at 7:30. And thereafter, it'll be on the player, at least for a while. I don't know how long things stay on player on TG Cahir, but it will be there at least for a couple of weeks.
Superb. Thank you so much, Mary. We look forward to that. And we'll speak to you soon again, I hope.
Okay, not at all. Thanks a million.
Thank Bye-bye. You so much. Mary Phelan there from Sand Woman Productions. Only if we, Bosey, we wouldn't have any clothes in Letterkenny. Great man, says one caller. Another, Brian Friel wrote a play about an Indian going around selling clothes in West Donegal. It's called Mr. Singh, My Heart's Delight. Interesting. I wonder if the inspiration, does it predate that, or if that's where the inspiration is drawn from there. That's 9:30 tomorrow night, TG Cahir. The government has all these consultants, says this caller. They get a whole pile of people in to make their decisions. What they need to do is send these consultants to the Algarve. Well, I'd be a consultant and go to the Algarve. That's hardly punishment, is it? But they go on to say they have a reservoir there which gives out water and conserves it, and you can have a shower every 5 minutes should you wish. It always does intrigue me how countries such as Spain and Portugal and other quite arid countries seem to have, right, in many cases you perhaps wouldn't drink the water, but seem to have so much water. It's how you look after it, isn't it? How you harvest it. I'd rather if they would pay us €100 a year, they'd tell us to pay €100 a year, a standing charge effectively, and leave the meters out of it. But is this not about conservation? Is that what we're saying, that this is about conserving, which seems to make the idea of having a cap on water charges for a year or two, however long it will be, somewhat peculiar? Because why would you conserve water if you know precisely how much you're going to pay? That's one of the confusing aspects of the whole situation, I suppose. Right, we are going to be back. I tell you, we're going to be speaking to John Campbell about a fantastic initiative. It's long ongoing now at Finn Harps. Great to have Finn Harps on the programme. It's about their school programme. That's coming up shortly. The Finn Harps school programme is entering its sixth year. The club, through a team of volunteer coaches, visits 31 schools with 10,000 children, with the programme covering social inclusion through Show Racism the Red Card, general fitness through Eat Right, Play Right. John Campbell is the secretary of Finn Harps Football Club. He called in to see me yesterday, and I began by asking him about the decision to keep the programme going through difficult financial times.
It was a very good decision by the board at the time. It was, as you say, it could have been very easy to say we'll cut all the programmes away. But this one was important because from a football point of view, we were dealing directly with schools, with children, with parents. There was good context. Those are the players, be it for Finn Harps or whatever, of tomorrow. And it was important we went in to coach them. And it was a very forward-thinking move on behalf of the board. And I know boards of football clubs in general get some bad PR at the time. But this was a very, very good one because we still have to raise all the funds for this programme ourselves. Nobody helps us.
Give us an idea of the scale, and we'll talk a bit more about that, you know, who's involved and how it works. But give us an idea of the scale of the programme now as we head into the sixth year.
As you head into the sixth year now, the programme now has 31 schools in it, all through Donegal. Those schools are from Letterkenny down as far as Ballintra. They come from the west of the county in Cadhu across to Lifford. There's 31 schools. There's 10,000 kids in those schools. It's serviced in the main by about seven coaches. And we initially started off, we did show racism, the red card, which we still do that programme. We did. We have an excellent relationship with Donegal Road Safety. We do a programme with them. And then this last year, year and a half, we sat down with Donegal Sports Partnership with Miles Sweeney there and Trace Laverty. And we developed, we were teaching kids skills. We were talking to them about how important it is to keep yourself fit. And what we did do was said, okay, let's put a programme of called proper nutrition before we do a session. So before we do a session now, we will do 20 minutes on nutrition, hydration, etc. That has been put together, as I say, by Trace Lafferty, who needs no introduction in that area. We've been helped on that by the Donegal Sports Partnership. It's the only one of its kind in Ireland, amazingly, that's dealing with the preparation for sport. Not just alone the preparation for sport, but actually for life.
And we're talking here to, you know, it feeds into that issue. We know the statistics are there across the country. There is an issue with childhood obesity. What better way to perhaps try and re-educate children and parents and schools alike that, you know, a healthy body, a healthy mind, and the benefits then that can have in pursuing your chosen sport?
Well, exactly. I mean, I would find it amazing that we, as all sports in Donegal, as the players advance, be it to the Donegal senior team, be it to Finn Harps or whatever, nutrition becomes a key aspect of it. It's amazing with the problem we hear about obesity that there is no problem that actually says, hang on a minute, how about a bit of prevention? Mm. And a prevention is better than cure. We have presented this program to people and we've got the usual interest in it, but can I stress there has been no funding. Now, I'm not just making the play for us on that. I think an investment, be it for Finn Harps Schools Programme, for Donegal GAA, for the rugby, an investment in programmes like that, to me, it's actually a no-brainer. It's helping kids, making them aware of nutrition, making them aware of preparing their body for sport or just for life in general. Mm. And, you know, but as I say, it's we know it's a success. We know it's a success within the demand for schools. Sadly, we cannot remotely serve as the number of schools we have requests from. We've got people from the Inishowen area, schools up there that want to be part of it. We just don't have the resources.
And you mentioned the coaches earlier on. Let's not forget, these people are giving up of their own free time to do this. So it's clearly something that they're passionate about themselves.
Absolutely. They're brilliant coaches. They're coaches that we, apart from doing the coaching badges, guard the vetting, they've done courses in nutrition, they've done courses in doing coaching people with disabilities. And we've got some brilliant coaches. We've got, for example, Shauna Devaney, Chantelle Grant here, Danny Chambers over in Drumkeen. We've got Francis Byrne over on the other side of the county. We've got some incredible young coaches.
Well, on the point that you raised there, I mean, you're talking about 30-plus schools. You're talking about 10,000 students.
Yeah.
And it's clearly of huge benefit. Is this all funded by fundraising? There's no assistance at all in that regard? Because it would seem that there should be, because as you say, you know, we're talking about maybe trying to make people more healthy now and avoid expense and, most importantly, problems with health into the future.
Yeah, it's totally funded by Monies You Raise Herself. The only people who have assisted us, in fairness, is Donegal Sports Partnership. Mm-hmm. With a small donation. We're not funded from any other source. I agree with you. The ironic thing is that in the life of this programme, the Eat Right, Play Right, the only two people who offered to fund it were both nightclubs.
Mm.
And, well, that was definitely an unstartup. But I find it sort of, it was ironic that, I won't name the nightclubs, obviously, but the first people to approach and say, oh, that's a good idea. Would you consider handing out this for us?
The hearts were in the right place, but perhaps it wasn't. Didn't tie in with the exact message you were trying to get across. People listening to this are going to say, well, my school's not involved in this. You know, how can we get involved? As you head into the sixth year, are you looking for people to assist to try and help with the funding of this and maybe extend it?
Yeah, I think we're looking for two people, two things. If there were, it would be brilliant if there was an appropriate company out there who wanted to get involved in it through sponsorship. That would be brilliant. The only thing we're looking for, if there are coaches out there that they don't necessarily, if they start out with a basic badge, we will take them. The one thing, in fairness, the FEA have helped us on is getting people to get the appropriate badges. Mm. It will cost them nothing. We will source the training for them. And, you know, they are trained. We will get them trained. So if somebody wants to do their local school, they'll have to go through, obviously, a process with us. But I suppose we're looking for people that would help the project financially. But we're also looking for people to say, oh, look, I could give 2 hours to my local school on whatever day, because there's an amazing amount of great people out there that hold great badges.
And you have all the backup there as well, because that would be what would put people up. So then, just finally then on this, people can contact you. Can they, maybe a business out there, as you mentioned, that wants to get involved with sponsorship, or people, as you mentioned, that might be interested in coaching, or anyone who wants any further information? Because, you know, it's amazing how these things can snowball when there's more awareness. Who do they contact, or where do they get more info?
If they can contact me through the Facebook Finn Harp Schools. We're on Facebook there. They can contact me directly on my mobile. It's 0873 387 2973. We'll be delighted to discuss with them if they, obviously, if they want to sponsor something, if they want to get involved in coaching, if they just want more information about what we're doing.
Okay, that's all we have time for on the weekend edition this Saturday morning. I can't thank you enough for listening to the programme and getting involved as well. You can email me at any stage if you want to make a suggestion or comment, greghughes@highlandradio.com. Also, if you're attending any of the protests around the country today, you can send your pictures to greghughes@highlandradio.com. We'll get them up on our website as well. My thanks, of course, to Yvonne McFadden, as always, who produced the programme, and Kelly Centra, the Mountaintop at Letterkenny, who provided today's newspapers. Thank you once again to everyone who contributed to the programme. We'll be back next Saturday here in Highland Radio between 10 and 12. So for me, Greg Hughes, and producer Yvonne McFadden, have a fantastic weekend and stay safe.